There are a couple of notes that I would like to remind you about. First of all, concerning received a lifeline call on Friday. He is in the Baptist Hospital, and as far as I know, is probably in ICU. He had to have some really critical surgery done on bypassing an aorta arterial supply down to his legs and to his feet. He had had a injured toe on his right foot, and he was not getting any blood supply to that at all. It was turning black, and there's a good chance that he will lose that toe. They did do the surgery. Blood supply has been restored to his left leg, but it's not yet a good supply to the right leg and foot. So it's still a very touchy situation, so please be praying for Brad. And let him know that you're thinking about him every way you can. And then Gary Fryer. Many of you know Gary. She has been attending here. Used to be a member here and had quit attending for a long while and had started back. And she fell this past week in Oklahoma City and broke a hip, if I understood it correctly. Is that right? I think she's also in the Baptist Hospital, but she doesn't want any visitors. She was insistent about that, but I think it would be a wonderful thing if we just inundated her with cards, get well cards and thinking of you cards, and just letting her know that we're missing her and that we'll be praying for her. So please keep her. And if you need the address, just call the church or look in an old directory and you'll find her mailing address. Last Lord's Day, in my lesson, We Preach Christ Crucified, I urged each of you to spend some time thinking about what the gospel story is, at least to you. I wanted you to think about how would you tell that story in your own words to somebody who really wanted to know. And I hope you did that. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody by asking for a show of hands. But I hope you did that. And I hope you gave the matter some good thought. Maybe even spent some time in prayer about that, because I think it's important for every Christian to do that, not just one time, but to keep on doing it. We need to let the story of Christ roll around in our mind and in our heart, praying and hoping as we pray that we will get hold of this story, and that it will get hold of us, and that we'll fall more and more in love with Him, that one that we call our Savior, Christ our Lord. We need to do that. And we need to do that because God wants this story told. And I know He hasn't made you an evangelist in all probability. He hasn't made you an apostle or a prophet. But listen, what He did do is give you a story that even you can tell to many other people. It's a story that when it's told, it has incredible power to capture attention, captivate hearts and minds, and to change eternal destinies. Listen to me this morning. This morning I want to continue the lesson I began last Sunday. And I believe it's essential for the world to hear that story and to learn And it is critical for us Christians to remember that Christ didn't die of old age. He did not spend the last few years of his life lingering in a nursing home somewhere. His last few months were not racked with pain from cancer. He did not die from massive cardiac arrest, or his life didn't end in a tragic car accident. Jesus died on a cross, which was the Roman instrument that was used for capital punishment. When Peter preached the first gospel sermon, he told that story. And if you will, open your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 22 and verse 23. As Peter begins this story, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Now, we read those verses, and we know all of that. And too often, it really doesn't grab our attention, at least not anymore. Remember, as I said last week, that for many of us, we have heard the good news so much that it has become old news. And it doesn't excite us anymore. And that's partly, I guess, because of the nature of things. But it's also, I think, partly because we're not telling the story like we're supposed to be to everyone that we can. When we have that, telling the story, as our ambition, and when we tell his story as often as we can, we don't get tired of hearing it. It doesn't bore us. Instead, it energizes us because in every line on every page of his story, there is something that we are going to be able to use that enable us to connect with people and help them become Christians. Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Now, what did Peter talk to these or preach to these people about? After he got through dealing with the accusation that they, the apostles, had to be drunk, and after he had explained to the people how that what they were seeing and hearing was actually had been foretold by the prophet Joel several centuries before, the next thing that he began to do was he began telling them about Jesus. Now, why did he do that? I know he was being acted upon by the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But I'm wanting you to think about this. Why did the Holy Spirit have him go there with Jesus? Why didn't the Holy Spirit lead him to give the people a much needed lesson on the three dispensations, the patriarchal, the mosaical, and the Christian dispensations? Why didn't the Holy Spirit have Peter launch into a discussion about the existence of God and prove in every kind of way that God really does exist? Why didn't he lead him to explain the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, or at least the first covenant and the new covenant? Why didn't Peter explain why the question of authority is so vitally important to any and every religious discussion? How are we to explain the fact that Peter, in this sermon, never even mentioned the word church? Didn't talk about it at all. Why didn't Peter talk about baptism? Oh, I know he commanded it in verse 38. But he didn't spend any time explaining why, number one, it was necessary, and number two, what it had to do with anything. He didn't talk about the Lord's Supper. He really didn't have anything to say about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, why do you suppose that is? Are those things not important? Well, yes, absolutely they're important. They are critical to a proper and a right and a full understanding of what the Christian faith is all about. But what Peter did here, and I think it's a good model for us to learn from, a good model for us to follow, is that he told people about Jesus. Now, why did he do that? He did that because, as Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul wrote this. Just listen to this, will you? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then a few lines later, in what we call chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, Paul went on to write, he says, he's kind of reminding them of his trips to Corinth. He says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Peter said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Peter wanted to tell people about Christ. And what did he mention? First of all, he refers to him as Jesus of Nazareth. What comes to your mind when you hear that? Jesus of Nazareth. There's a whole host of information, isn't there? When you read the four Gospels, there's a whole host of information about Jesus of Nazareth. That points to Christ's early years, and where he came from, and who he was, and his brothers and sisters, and all of that. And you have a number of stories about his growing up in Nazareth, and how the people of his own home village found it difficult to believe in him as really being the Messiah. You see, the story that God wants us to share with people is about a real person. This is not some mythological being. Any good story has a hero. And the hero of this story is Jesus of Nazareth. And there are so many amazing and interesting things you can tell about Jesus of Nazareth. About this Jesus of Nazareth, then Peter goes on to say, that he was a man that was attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. Well, what's Peter talking about there? He's reminding them of things that they probably, many of them at least in that audience, had seen. Some of them, they had heard about them, but others probably had seen them. He's talking about all of those amazing, incredible, miraculous things that Jesus did and said. Peter was reminding these people of those things that many of them had seen themselves. Well, what did those things say? Or what did those things presume to show to these people? Well, they showed that God was working through this Jesus of Nazareth. That was Peter's point. And he was wanting these people to think about who Jesus is. Think about it, beloved. What do you want people to know about your Jesus? You want them to know everything that you possibly can, don't you? And if you think about it, I hope you understand that means that you can just about start anywhere. You have 1,000 starting points to be able to talk to people about Jesus. The story that God wants people to hear can be started upon almost any statement, any situation, any question that might be that you might find yourself in and around. Think about all of the mighty works and wonders and signs that Jesus did. And of course, it's true that most people, at least most people in our world, have already heard many of those stories. But the very fact that they involved this person we call Jesus of Nazareth almost guarantees that people are going to give these stories a little more credibility. Even if they are skeptical, they're going to give what we share with them a little bit more serious thought. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified." And then Peter says, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Wow. The plot thickens, doesn't it? Not only do we have this very real person, not only did he do amazing, incredible things in the presence of people, Peter told many of these same people, all of that, including Jesus' death, all of that was in accordance with a plan that God had put in place centuries or a long time before even the creation of the world. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was killed. But think about it for a few moments. Who was this Jesus? And that's Peter's point here, isn't it? That's what Paul is trying to say. We claim that Jesus was God, but what are some of the reasons why we believe that? What are some of the reasons that we can give people so that they can believe that as well? You remember when you first began to believe? Do you remember when you first began to give serious consideration to making Jesus your Lord, to confessing Jesus as your Lord, and finding forgiveness for your sins? I want you to think about that for a moment. And what was it, if you can remember? Some of you, that's a long way to remember, but what was it, if you can remember, that sealed the deal for you? What tipped the scales so far as you were concerned? Was it some of those amazing things that he did? Was it what he taught? Was it the fact that all of those amazing things, including his resurrection, pushed your belief way past any speculation or any question? I suspect that there was a moment when you resigned in your own mind, you resolved in your own mind that this is the Son of God. This is truly the Son of God who came into this world. And He really did do all of those things. And you began to believe with great joy and great excitement that this Jesus of Nazareth was truly the Son of God. The one who was telling you things that you really needed to hear and things that you really needed to do, even though maybe you had never thought about doing them before. And as you thought about it, it all made sense. And it still makes sense. Because who was this guy? This was God who had come to find us. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified." Who did Peter preach? He preached Christ crucified, didn't he? That's who we are to preach. We don't preach ideas, although ideas are important. We don't preach doctrines, even though doctrines are important. We don't preach history or proofs or even promises, even though that there's an extremely important place for all three of those things. History and proofs and promises. But why don't we preach history? Because who's the center of history? Christ. Why don't we preach proofs? Because what's the greatest proof of all? It's Christ, isn't it? And why don't we preach promises? Because unless there is a Christ, without Christ, all promises are null and void. They're useless. That's why we preach Christ crucified. We don't preach the crucifixion of Christ, although that part of the story does get told a lot. But lots of people have been put to death on a cross. And as far as many people were concerned, Jesus was just another troublemaker that deserved to die a cruel death. But keep this in mind, it isn't the crucifixion that gives glory to Christ. It is Christ who gives glory to the cross. What would that story be if it had not been the story of Christ and Him crucified? It would just be another sad story, wouldn't it? Do you get where I'm going with this? I hope you are, and I hope you do, because I want you to follow me in this. I want you to be able to get what I'm saying here. Because God has imagined that one day there would be a whole lot of people in this place that we call Ponca City. People who would be forever telling this person and that person the story of Jesus. And they would be telling people His story, not because they had to, but because they wanted to. Or maybe I should say, they were telling people that story because they did have to. They couldn't keep it to themselves. And they would be people who would look for anyone and everyone to tell that story to. They would love to tell that story. As Catherine Hanke said, we looked at her song last week, "I love to tell that story." They would love to tell the story because His story had this amazing postscript to it. A postscript that was about them. And they loved to tell the story because they were now a part of that story. And because everybody could be a part of his story if they would just take the time to seriously think about the matter. I'm gonna give you another assignment for this coming week. Homework, if you will. I know some of you didn't get to it last week. And maybe this week you'll try harder to remember. And you'll try harder to set aside some time for it. And for those of you who did your homework last week, this will be a little bit of a review, but if you did it, I just know it's not going to bother you to revisit and review all of that again. Maybe touch it up here in a bit. If the rest of you, I want to urge you to take some paper and a pencil or a pen, or maybe sit down at your computer or an iPad or something in your Bible, and I want you to begin putting his story into your own words. Just imagine that if someone were to ask you to tell them more about your faith in Christ, what would you say? How would you begin? What would you include? Now, of course, we know, for the most part, people are not going to come to us and ask that, are they? So we're good for that, see? But why is that? Have you ever thought about that? Why aren't people asking me about Jesus? And let me tell you the reason why. And you may not like it. But listen to me and see if you think this isn't the case, if this isn't the reason. The reason why very few people, if any, are asking us about Christ is because we're not talking about Jesus very much. We're not preaching Christ crucified. I'm talking about us, the Church of Christ. We who have pledged ourselves to confess his name before men, we're not doing that. We've not been talking about Jesus. We've just sort of hoped that maybe people would glimpse Jesus in us, or they would see Jesus in us. But people are not hearing us and seeing in us someone who's excited about Christ. And for the most part, they really don't know what we think about him, what we believe about him, or why. And the amazing thing is, and I believe this was the point that Brother Chris Swinford was making that I shared with you last week. Many of them would like to. They would like to know what you think. They would like to know what's going on in your life so far as Jesus is concerned. They would love it if somebody they know and like and respect would just talk to them about these things. People know they're in trouble. People know that there's a God, and even though they may not really know much about him, they know that Jesus is believed by many to be God himself, and that he came into this world and he took upon himself a human form or nature. And they may not understand much about all of that, but they would be open for someone to help them try to understand that without trying to force something on them. Most people know that Jesus is believed or alleged to have died on the cross and then rose again 3 days later. They may not really understand what that has to do with anything. But they would love to hear it from someone like you. But they're never going to ask you anything if you haven't been telling them anything about Christ in the first place. Let me remind you of that wonderful story that's related for us by John, the Apostle John, over in the fourth chapter of his gospel. And John talks about that occasion when Jesus was passing through Samaria and he met that woman at the well, and he engaged her in a conversation. He asked her for some water and she said something rather insulting back, and Jesus went ahead, he deferred that comment, and he then went on and was able to engage her in a very serious conversation about very spiritual things and who he was. And as she began to relate or understand that this Jesus is not just some passerby here, this is not just some ordinary person, she got interested. And she wanted to know some things. And she began asking questions. And if you'll just tune your heart and your lips, or your ears rather, to when you hear people asking questions, you know it is time to be alive and to come through for them. They're wanting to know something. And so they talked about the place of worship and all of that. And then the Bible says she went home. She went back to her city. She went back into town. And what did she do? She went back to the people of that city and she began telling them about what? She wasn't telling them about what. She was telling them about who, wasn't she? She began telling them about Jesus. And the more she talked about this Jesus, the more they became interested in hearing more about him. And the next thing you know, the whole town is going out to Jesus at the well, because they want to see him, they want to hear him, they want to know him themselves. And finally, they entice him to coming back into town with them. And Jesus spends some time with those people. And the Bible says they said to him, "We went because of what this woman told us, but now we have seen with our own eyes that you are the Christ. You're the Savior." That's what we need to be doing. We need to be talking Jesus. We need to be preaching Christ and Him crucified. We need to be telling His story from every angle, with every story and every event and every beautiful, wise saying of Jesus that will fit any and every circumstance that we encounter in life. As we talk with people, as we're dealing with things, we can tell them about Jesus. What is that? What good is that going to do? It's going to open their hearts and their minds to want to know more. And when they become convinced that Jesus, who Jesus is, that He's the Son of God, He's the one who came looking for them, He wants to save them from their sin. When they make that decision, when they get past that point where there's no longer any doubt in their mind, this is the Son of God who came looking for me, and I can be saved, and they will then commit themselves to making Him the Lord of their life, then you can teach them everything that Jesus wants them to be taught. He told His disciples, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them then to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Oh, there's a place for all of the things that we need to instruct people on, that we need to understand, that we need to live by. But we begin with the story of Christ. So you've got your homework again this week. I hope and pray that you will take it seriously and benefit from it greatly, and begin this week to start just praying maybe. You want to just maybe begin with prayer for some people. Maybe people you know. Maybe people you don't know. Maybe people you haven't met yet. But praying that, Lord, when you bring those people into my life, whatever they say, whatever they do, whatever's going on, may I have the ability to recall the story of Christ in such a way that it fits into that situation, into that context, and that it will provoke their interest It aroused their curiosity about you and your son, Jesus Christ. Pray that prayer and do your homework. And let's get to talking about Jesus in our community. If there's anyone here this morning whose life is not in a right relationship with God, either because you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you've never made that initial upfront decision that you're going to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're going to confess Him as the Lord of your life, or that you have done that, but you have not been faithful to that confession, or maybe after you rose from that watery grave of baptism, you didn't continue to walk in the newness of life. You've gone back into the ways of the world in such a way that you don't feel like you have that joy of salvation any longer. We would encourage you this morning to humble yourself and seek God's forgiveness once again. If you need to respond this morning for any reason, will you come all together? We stand as we sing.